This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Right now, one of our favorite people, favorite guests, joining us on the WadeFord.com hotline, fresh from a trip to Tuscaloosa. It is D. Orlando Ledbetter from the AJC covering the Falcons. Not sure a Bama player is in our future, D, but how they look over there, man?
Yeah, Milroe was showcased over there. They had him under control with his quarterback coach, Jordan Palmer. Wanted to show, trying to impress people that he's got some accuracy to throw at the NFL level. And then he ran a 4.3. 7.40, unofficial 4.37. It ended up being a 4.440. So he can run the ball, that's for sure. Now they want to know if they can put him in the offense and function as a NFL passer.
All right, D, when it comes to Jihad Campbell, he was in a sling. Does that take him out of the running for the Falcons?
No, I'm not sure. I got to see what the effect of it. He had a surgery, a shoulder surgery, labrum. I don't know how long those take, but, you know, if you pick a 15, you're not trying to take damage good, so it may affect his draft status.
It's our man D. Led, guys, from the AJC. D, I know a lot of folks have been asking us, will we ever trade down historically? And it has nothing to do with how, you know, our GM approaches it, but we've always gone up. We've gone up for Desmond Trufant. We obviously went up big for Julio. You know, we've never gone down. We went up for Ruka Row last year. Do you see us? Now it takes two to tango. Do you think the Falcons would entertain trading down?
I think they will, and you know, and they also traded back into the first against Sam Baker and Caleb McGarry, so we got to keep an eye on that too. But the reason why they would trade back is that there's supposedly just 12 players with first-round grades on them, and the guys from, you know, 413 or 80 are about the same NFL-wise. Right. So you can get the same, you might be getting two of the same guys if you trade back and pick up picks. You know, the only reason it makes sense is because they don't have the third they gave up for Judon, and they don't have the fifth that they lost in the tampering case.
D, when it comes to Jordan Fuller, who the Falcons just brought in, do you believe he's the day one starter, or are they still going to look for a potential upgrade?
Yeah, got to look for a young upgrade. He is a starter. He has started in the league more than 40 games, but no Pro Bowls, nothing outstanding. But, you know, he's familiar with some of the coaches, and they'll be able to get him in place. And you know, he's more of a strong safety, box safety. Ain't going to give you much in coverage. But as of right now, he's in the starting lineup on the depth chart.
I think only twice in my 27 years of fandom as a Falcon fan have the Falcons done what I thought they were going to do. So, I mean, do you think they may go defensive tackle? I know we got a sort of a spackle on edge rush by bringing in Leonard Floyd.
Yeah, no doubt. But you can definitely see him go because the tackles are good, too. And Terry, his buzzword is pressure player. Although we all got to give ourselves credit. We knew they were drafting Sean Weatherspoon a few years back. We knew that was the play. But we'll take credit for that. But for everybody gets credit for that. But, yeah, the tackle could definitely be in play. Terry talks about pressure players. And if they think they can get the rush up the middle and push it out to Floyd, we've heard all these theories on how you get pass rush. So, they'll be able to tell us if the tackles, that kind of penetrating, Aaron Donald, disruptive force, that's going to be better than taking an edge rusher.
D, when it comes to center, we haven't really heard anything about Ryan Nuzeal. What's the latest you're hearing, and would they potentially go that route in the draft?
Yeah, well, he didn't stick out when he started. He started 8 games. The right of first refusal is, a moniker. If somebody wanted to come and give him more than $3.86 million, the Falcons will have the right to match. So if they think he's their center, they can keep him. They could have put a first or second round tender on him, but they obviously felt the market wasn't going to be there for that. So they went with the lower one, and that's what, he'll end up getting, once the reserve period is over with, restricted period is over with.
Yeah, I know that we said center's an important position, and I just thought, and as Chris's point, that Nuzeal certainly did a good job. We didn't complain about him. We weren't talking about him when he stepped in for Drew Dahlman. But, yeah, I just thought that might be something they'd address, and obviously you're not going to take a first or a second round pick, I don't think, for a center, so we'll see how it plays out. What about McGarry? I asked this question of Obi yesterday, Obi Mahaley. You a little concerned, D, about him on the blind side now?
Yeah, for me, no doubt. You've seen people run around him too much. But I think they got Charlie Warner to help with the chip blocks over there. But when I asked Raheem about him being the blind side, they was trying to say, hey, we play the pistol now. Everything's set ahead. Shotgun, the left side, right side isn't as important as it used to be. And, I have problems moving off traditional fundamental concepts. And so I'm going to have to hear to see that if that's the case. But they did sign Storm Norton's backup and Brandon Parker, Storm's backup. So they got 4 veteran tackles in the house right now. Things start going haywire.
D, what do you think the market is for Kirk Cousins right now? We've been hearing conflicting things over the last couple of days from different national NFL insiders reporting that the Falcons are the ones making calls or that the other teams are the ones making calls. We heard as high as a third-round pick be mentioned. What are you hearing in regards to his market?
It's still the same. It's the Russell Wilson situation. The contract's untradeable. Nobody's taking a trade. Nobody's getting a third-round pick. Nobody's giving you even a 5th-round pick. They're stuck with Kirk Cousins, and they know it. And so, it's better than just get him away for nothing. They're holding onto him in case the circumstances change. The circumstances have not changed yet. Cleveland's not going to give you anything for him. They're going on their way about, Russell Wilson and other things. You've seen Aaron Rodgers going to Pittsburgh today. I don't know what where they're getting stuff from, but it hasn't changed. Nobody's trading for that contract. Falcons are stuck with that contract. They're not getting anything for Kurt. He's your backup quarterback. Unless somebody, I was telling my friend yesterday, I was like, hey, if Jared Goff goes down the second game, Lions think they got a Super Bowl team, maybe you can get something in.
So we keep him. I get it. Carl's been saying he'll be here post-June.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow the Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
One, but how does that dynamic? We asked everybody, I just talked about it, Brian McFadden, OB yesterday, D was saying, man, that's a strange dynamic in the locker room. Some guys, of course, won't give a crap, but some guys will be like, what was this guy selling? You know, I'm not hurt. I didn't give you my best, and I kind of hurt the team. And then later to come back and say, oh, no, I was hurt.
Yeah, no doubt about it. He's got some explaining to do to his teammates, but, you know, they always had his back last year, even while he was throwing the 9 interceptions. So he's got some cachet in the locker room, at least on the offensive side of the ball, for being a stand-up guy, even though this doesn't seem like some stand-up guy stuff right here.
Right, you know? Right.
So if Penix is balling out and Kurt's going about his business, just helping him get ready and, you know, running from the media like he did late last year and hiding and stuff, then nobody's going to care. But, if, you know, the things start going haywire, they start holding out, you know, demanding a trade, and, you know, then you might have to cut them. But, you know, for now, they think Kurt's going to be a pro about it. I think he has some explaining to do to the fans at the very least if he went out there playing hurt and jeopardized the season. You know, that's what happened. And, you know, the fans are owed an explanation for why he did that.
Dee, do you think there's any pressure on Terry and Raheem to change their draft strategy this time around because of where the state of the franchise is right now and with the failure to make the playoffs in Terry's regime? And what I mean by that is take the best player available on their board.
Oh, yeah, I think you stick to that. I'm a proponent of that. I think they've done that for the most part. You know, picked over the guys that, you know, that was a problem for me. You know, of course, Bijan over Jalen Carter. That wasn't the best player available, but there were circumstances involved there. You build from the inside out. They've been trying to get tougher and bigger and faster up front. They got the pieces around, at least on offense, and you know, still got to work on the secondary. But you got to punch people in the mouth when you get in the playoffs. You saw what happened to the Vikings. You know, they were looking all good until they got punched in the mouth. Saw what the Eagles did to the Chiefs. You better be able to win up front. And, you know, they came with an intact line, but they haven't built up the defensive front yet.
It's our man, D. Orlando Ledbetter, the former president of the Football Writers Association of America. He's got juice. He joins us here on Dukes and Bell. Yeah, D, we didn't get a chance to debrief after Kyle Pitts' people put out, hey, man, you know, last year was whatever, and then we're going to be working 10 times harder. He also said they prevailed. I don't know what the hell he prevailed at last year. I don't know if that was a good look for him, because immediately our fans are going, what the hell was that effort the last 4 years from Kyle Pitts?
Yeah, I'm like, Kyle, we just need to see you play some football. I don't really need no Instagram posts, you know, I don't need pictures of your food and all that stuff. Just come out here, play some football. It's a contract year. You got to play. You got to play your best. And so that should help the Falcons out. I don't really need to. I'm putting much into these. Oh, I'm going harder. I'm going, you know, that supposedly was an issue in his rehab. About how hard he did, and you know, I don't like him coming across the middle, and he's the biggest thing out there, and he's not fighting for the ball in the middle of the field on them in-cut routes. I want to see that. I want to see some toughness. I don't know about trying 10 times harder, but you know, you need to go out and dominate like you did that game in Tampa last year with those deep balls and so forth. So, yeah, I don't want to hear anything from Kyle. Just go play football.
Obviously, D, we will revisit this conversation after the draft, but right now, the NFC South has improved, in my opinion. The Panthers have gotten better. The Bucs bring back a bunch of their guys. Baker's playing well, and we'll see what the Saints are. I think they're the wild card in this division. How much should the Falcons be looking in their rearview mirror?
Well, they were the second-place team, and, you know, it came down to the end, and you had a quarterback that was throwing the ball to the other team for six, seven games there. You finished 2-6. So whatever you did in that first half of the season, you need to extend that and go longer and deeper. And, You know, whatever happened on defense, you know, that you got rid of part of it with Jimmy Lake going. You got some veteran people on that staff now. You're going to have these players buy in. Those are the areas for improvement. You know, the defense has to get better, and the offense has to, you know, cut down the turnovers that, you know, Kirk was throwing last year. So it's not like they have a major, major rebuilding thing to do. You know, they got some very key football things. You know, got to get the pass rush going some kind of way, and you got to keep scoring points and running the football and not turning it over.
Hey, man, before we cut you loose, D, we were talking about Pitts, and it comes up every time. Is he being used properly? Zach Robinson, I mean, there's a learning curve for everybody in the sport. And I thought that, you know, Zach had to go through what he wasn't expecting with the Kirk Cousins soap opera you just talked about. How does the offense, does it change much with Penix Jr.? Does Zach evolve? Do things work differently at all? I mean, do we see Pitts in the scene more where Puka Nacua was for the Rams and they get Drake outside, or more of the same?
No, I think it's got to be some change up. You know, whenever they would get behind the sticks, he would throw the screens. Then people started jumping the screen. And so he had to get off his screen. And then, down the field, I expect more stuff intermediate range because Penix got, such a big arm that I'm not expecting a lot of screens and short dink and dust stuff. Expecting to see Drake London on some 20-yard in-cut, you know, and expect to see Kyle Pitts up the field more. Kyle Pitts, for me, I've been waiting to see who's going to run the Cooper Kupp route for the Falcons. And Pitts seemed like a candidate for that, but they didn't get to that part of the offense last year. But I really expect him to diversify the routes as the season goes on. They didn't do that last year. You know, that's when you see 4D backs showing up at the ball. That means that they all saw the play on film.
Right.
you gotta switch up about halfway through to, you know, make an in or out, make a stop or go. You know, you gotta flip the routes a little bit. So I'm expecting the first-time coordinator to, know that he's got to flip some stuff around as the season goes on. But he had a good first year, I thought, calling offense. Zach Robinson did.
Right.